Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game.
And here we are, 96.9, the music bomb. WYIR, the Dirty D. Michael Shocker, senior writer. Michael Shocker. We call him the Shockley.
Yes.
Senior writer. Webmaster, IcemanManiacs.com.
What's the name of this show?
It is called, Ba-da-ba-da-bump, Iceman Insights.
Woo!
How you doing today, Michael?
Oh, I've been better.
Yeah.
I've been coughing nonstop for the last 2.5 weeks, so I'm going to go on and throw out a disclaimer to everyone. I apologize if I pause here and there to clear my throat and whatnot. It's beyond my comprehension, and it's been a very annoying 2.5 weeks, but I'm going to try to get through this show. So,
hopefully, no fear, listening audience, because if any of those pauses happen, I will jump right in with a little bit of Barry Manilow or something.
There
like
you
that.
Go, yeah. Yeah.
So I will carry the show today.
For the first time.
And the last time. His daddy don't get paid to carry the show.
Yeah. So, before we get started with our Iceman news, there's been a lot of talk going around on Facebook, especially. But among the Iceman maniacs, a lot of fans are talking about what might be happening with regards to a certain person who is in this room.
Certain
but is
hockey.
Not me.
Certain hockey issue.
Yes, a certain hockey issue. Something that's gotten a lot of discussion, and someone's name keeps coming up in the discussion. So before we start with anything else, I believe you have an announcement you would like to make?
Well, we're going to actually hold it off. We'll hold off the big announcement
until
the end of the show.
Oh, so, tease, yes. Tease.
Guaranteed listenership, or at least fast-forwarding
podcast. Anyone who's listening to the podcast is just going to go to the final 3 minutes of the show right now. All right.
Yeah. We don't even need to do anything.
Yeah.
So okay. We should just fool them with 60 minutes of dead air. Maybe not.
No.
Who are we kidding?
Oof.
When have we, either one of us, ever gone 60 seconds without saying something?
That's very true, yeah.
So, our poor wives. But anyways, Iceman roster news.
All right. We've had several announced signings since our last show. First off, some more returning players. Forward Matt Shepke is coming back. Thoughts?
Did he play for the Highlanders last year?
The Brayhead Clan.
Oh, I thought it was the Highlanders. So
he is back on the blue line.
Got a mascot. It's official.
On the blue line, our second defenseman signing was Aaron Jens, who says he is symptom free and medically cleared from his conky, and he is expected to be 100% for the start of training camp. So if that's
and how many
case,
new songs is he bringing?
Yeah, I wonder. I don't know. Well, although if his brother's not coming back, I wonder if that's his muse.
Oh, maybe it's time to go solo.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe it's time to steal all the songs from brother.
There you go. Yeah, he hasn't released anything. They're there for the taking.
Yep.
Another returning player, goaltender James Reed,
finished off the season for us last year.
He did, and he got better and better as time went on.
I am interested in to see how he plays with full training camp underneath his belt. He's been to Evansville. He knows what the area is like. He finds a comfort level in the forward center. He starts putting up some numbers like he had in the WHL. One thing that's interesting, he's only played 34 games in the past 3 years since he left the WHL.
Right.
So he's this is kind of one of those moments in time where he's either going to put 60 games under his belt or he's
done.
Yeah, he's going to be
this is a crossroads.
Tiling someone's floor or something like
that.
Yeah,
it's a crossroads in his career, and I think he will come to camp in tip-top shape. He will be ready to roll and try to seize the number one job because – last year he went into the season in Alaska where he was part of a three-man rotation, and he knew the job was not there for the taking, really, because the other two guys had tenure, essentially. And then by the time he bounced around and came to Evansville at the end of the season, he had been off so long that when he got here, he was rusty and coming off injury and just not in the shape he needed to be physically or mentally. And it showed early on. He was a little rusty, but over time, his numbers, the first six games compared to the last six games, there was a substantial difference.
Yep.
And that was despite playing and, you know, behind a team that had a whole bunch of rookies and a bunch of people that weren't even here a month prior. So
not to mention the injuries.
Exactly.
But now Jeff, Coach Pyle has talked about that it's going to be a three-headed monster probably, at least in training camp.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
still, we've got the other signing that you're going to get to in a moment, and he is expecting Springfield Falcon to
send a guy down too. Yeah. So Reed is not guaranteed a job, let alone the number one position. So I think that's the best scenario, though, is you got
like
to have,
like
to have a lot of guys to come in and challenge each other, because I think if anybody feels like a job is guaranteed them, then complacency happens, and that's when you have problems in this sport. This is, it's too fast, too physical, you know, not as physical with the goalies as far as running into other players, but physical in the way that you have to move around and groins and things like that. And if you're not going 100% all the time and training 100% and in the shape you need to be, then you're going to have problems. So I think, yeah, that competition is going to be very healthy, and it's going to be interesting to see who emerges.
I like the Reed pickup, and I think we talked about it on our show before the end of last season. Correct me if I'm wrong. As per
you
usual.
Probably are.
But didn't we talk about wanting to have a goaltender on this roster that was ours? That was
yes.
An Evansville Iceman goaltender that could either play 15 games in the season or 50, depending on what happened with call-ups and everything else.
Right.
And with the Karpowicz and the Paul Dayton issue last year, as well as Alan York coming down, and there was games that we were left with nobody. And Reed's going to carry the ball for us when the top send-down guy isn't here or needs a break. And
yeah,
hopefully it'll make a nice 1-2 combo.
Yeah, if he earns it. And that remains to be seen, because one of the other heads of that three-headed monster is a rookie goaltender named Garrett Bartus. He played college hockey at UConn. He was 40-58-9 with a .302 goals against and .911 save percentage at UConn. He also played a few seasons in the North American Hockey League, which is Tier 2 Junior A, and he had pretty solid numbers there. He went 53-27-6 with six shutouts, a .274 goals against, and a .911 save percentage. So he's, I wouldn't say those are stellar numbers, but they're good, and I think it's going to be interesting to see what he can do as far as pushing Reed and perhaps earning a job on this roster.
I like it, especially the .911 save percentage. That'll go a long way. You get a little bit more solid defense in front of you and cut down on a few of those shots, and that .911 will stay the same, but that goals against average will drop down into the lower twos.
Yeah, because you'll be seeing fewer shots
exactly.
in general.
So I think those are some pretty nice numbers, and I'll be interested to see how he plays in training camp.
Agreed. A couple other rookies that have been brought into the fray. First off, forward Peter Sakaris, who played the final three games of last season with the Icemen, turning pro at the very end of the season. Before that, he had played 159 games in the Quebec Major Junior League, had 137 points, so pretty solid numbers, almost a point per game player in the Quebec Major Junior League, which is a very good league.
Indeed.
It'll be interesting to see what he can do. He had 2 points in those three games with the Icemen, but that's obviously a very small sample size. So who knows what his role will be if he does indeed make the team, and we'll see what he can bring to the table. The other rookie that came in with him at the end of the season also played the final three games for the Icemen last year and had 3 points in those games is Chris Forfar. He's also a forward. He's more of a defensive forward, though. He only had 39 points in 156 games playing college at Michigan State, and he is a self-proclaimed defensive forward, so he's more of like a Trent Vogelhuber type of player, which everybody loves him.
Yep.
So if he can be a Trent Vogelhuber 2.0, that would be pretty awesome.
Well, if he ends up playing on a line with Kennedy and Dale, and
they
can...
Wait, sorry, who? Jason Dale!
And they can shut down opponents' top lines. That will be well worth the price of admission right there.
Yeah, exactly.
You ought to see the size of the big blue bar when we do our Jason Dale thing.
It explodes.
Oh, poor equalizer.
Another forward that has been signed, a second-year player. His name is Dalton Levely, I guess, or Lavelle.
I was going with Levey.
Levey. Ooh, the Francais.
Uh-huh.
Oh, oui, oui.
Uh-huh.
Oh, boy. Dalton Levey, we'll say that. Sounds good to me. He had 69 points in 131 games, also at Michigan State.
We are just the pipeline from Michigan State.
Yeah, Spartan Central.
Yeah, we can call ourselves Evansville Sparty.
Yeah.
Going all the way back to Jim McKenzie.
Wow. Yes, very true. Last year was his rookie professional season. He split time between the AHL and the ECHL. He had 19 AHL games, only 2 points. He also played 31 games in the ECHL, had 10 points. But from what I saw online, it seems like he was kind of a spare part. He was never given a key role. So you never know what he could do if he's given a consistent role on a line with some decent line mates. So who knows what he will produce, but he was a first-round pick in 2008 in the NHL draft, so clearly there's something there.
Yeah, but it was the Atlanta Thrashers
as well.
Well,
that's true. Yeah.
It's interesting. Here's a guy, he's 6 foot, 185, left-hand shot, but he has never scored double digits in goals. So there was something there that the scouts liked him and made him a first-round pick, but his freshman season at Michigan State was 9 goals and 8 assists for 17 points, and he's never come close to duplicating that. 8 goals in his junior year, 3 goals in his senior year, and 21 games played. So there's something, the old adage that your potential's going to get me fired. Another one that probably needs to step up here before his career washes away.
Yeah, it's put up or shut up time. You go out there and you earn yourself a job and make some waves, or you may not have a job come this time next year. So it will be interesting to see what he can do. Another Michigan State grad. He and Forfar played together 3 out of their 4 years there. So
cool.
There was a lot of overlap there. So who knows if they'll end up on a line together just because of that familiarity. The final new signing we need to get to is a rookie forward named Matthew Bissonnette.
Bissonnette? Nah, I was thinking that, but now we're going to go. We have the spelling on the or the pronunciation on the Iceman page and their press
Bissonnette.
Release.
Bissonnette?
Bissonnette.
Bissonnette.
Bissonnette. So, but boy, he looks like a dandy. This looks like potential top-line material.
Yeah, 266 games in the Quebec Major Junior League, 239 points, including 140 points in just 112 games over the past two seasons. 6'4", 200 pounds, and I am looking forward to seeing what this kid brings to the table.
Yeah, just I think that one season he had 45 goals and 60 assists. So, and again, it's the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League, part of the Canadian Hockey League for juniors. Granted, he played 5 years. Usually they play 1, 2, or 3 years, and then they're a first-round pick
right.
and get called up. So he's not a draft pick, but he's definitely a solid, solid hockey player.
Well, he was kind of a late bloomer. His first three seasons he didn't have huge numbers. He had good numbers, but not huge numbers. And then after that fourth season where he had really sick numbers, he was supposedly going to have a tryout in the NHL, but then he got hurt, and that kind of screwed everything up, and he ended up having to go back and play a fifth year of juniors. So that could be one of those deals where, due to circumstances, he kind of fell under the radar, and Jeff Pyle plucked him out of the radar where his radar is, and it could end up being a really nice signing for the Icemen.
Yeah, 2011-2012, 36 goals, 47 assists, and just 65 games.
Yeah, that's solid numbers, yep. to say the least. There's some question as to whether or not he is related to Paul Biznasty.
The Biznasty.
Yeah, the Phoenix Coyotes winger. I don't know. I haven't seen anything official one way or the other that really confirms or denies that. It is worth noting that Paul is from Ontario and Matthew is from Quebec, but that doesn't mean they couldn't be third or fourth cousins or something. So
I follow
Biznasty.
Biznasty 2.0. So I will message him here shortly.
I think a couple people have too. He is one of the most interesting
guys. Yeah,
he's
right up there near Patafi.
Yeah, he's a little out there at times, and he's gotten into trouble for some of the things he's said before.
One of my favorites was someone was chirping at him about not having any hardware or anything else like that, has no trophies, no respect. It was during the NHL playoffs when they were announcing Hart Trophy winner and mm-hmm. Selke winner and all that stuff. And he's like, I'll show you my trophies. And he flicked this picture and put it on Twitter, and it had to have been a Pee Wee championship trophy and like the house team, everyone gets a trophy, the feel good trophy.
The participation.
Yes. He had two of those with a picture of him on his wood floor, and he set it out. It was so funny.
Very nice.
Anyone that can make fun of themselves like that is pretty awesome.
Would have been better if he would have like shown him hoisting it over his head as if the Stanley Cup or something. That's pretty good. So I guess time will tell if they're related, but Biz Nasty is a great nickname.
It is.
But I think that means we need to come up with a nickname for Matthew.
Yep.
Biz something or just something completely different?
M Biz Nasty 3.0. It's Biz Nasty 2.0.
Yeah, it's his Twitter.
So
yeah, he could be Biz Nasty 3.0.
Yeah, maybe. Or 4.0. We'll give him like GPA.
He's double as good.
Yes. Or something.
Interesting. Yeah, we'll have to work on that. Everyone who's listening, give us ideas. Post it on Facebook and whatnot.
There you go.
That's your challenge.
Because we're not going to say, Matthew Bizanet.
No, like that's way too much.
Jason Dale. That just rolls off the tongue.
Doesn't it?
Of thousands
it's
of women in
wonderful.
The Ford Center.
Yes.
So anyways,
and
where are we?
Steven Rickard.
Yeah.
So... those are all of the new signings since our last show. They join Josh Beaulieu, Jason Dale, Dylan Clark, Patrick Kennedy, and Jake Obermeyer as the players who have been signed. So right now we have 9 forwards, 2 defensemen, and 2 goalies. Only 1 veteran, which is Beaulieu. So we'll see where things go. Some other names to mention, players that are not returning. Right after our last show, Dan Tatro signed with the Allen Americans in the CHL, as had generally been expected. Adam Pleskatch, who came to us fairly late last season, he impressed me, and I would have liked to have seen him come back, but he has signed with the Greenville Road Warriors here in the ECHL. And a couple players we had gotten from our affiliates last year, Brett Sonny, unfortunately, has signed to play in Austria.
If I had a choice, I'd go and play in Austria as well.
Well, yeah, the money's better over there.
And free European trip for 8 months.
Yeah. And also going to Europe is Nathan Moon, who has signed to play in the EIHL in the UK with the Brayhead Clan, which is where Matt Shepke finished last season. So basically they swapped
places. Is that
places.
Also the home of the Highlander?
I don't know. Okay. It is in Glasgow.
Okay.
So I'm not sure.
All right.
A couple other players to mention. Paul Dayton tweeted something a few days back about playing in Milan, Italy. This coming season, but nothing has been officially announced on that. Also,
was that about not being able to take his dog with him?
Yeah, something. Okay. Yeah, interesting way to talk to kind of reveal where you're going. He also
there's a man focused on hockey.
Yeah, there you go. Another player.
I'm going to Italy to play hockey,
and I'm talking about my dog.
And I can't bring my dog.
Yeah. Well, man's best friend.
No, not when you're going to Italy to get paid to play hockey.
Yeah. The other Paul that we got in net from our affiliates last year, Paul Karpowicz, the rumor I've heard is that he may be signing with the Bakersfield Condors, okay. But there's nothing official on that yet either. So we'll see where they end up landing, but sounds like it won't be in Evansville. So just to kind of wrap up the roster, do you have any thoughts in general about the way the roster is coming together? Jeff Pyle has said over and over again, and he just did again this week on Eyewitness News, or actually it might have been last week. I can't remember when it was, but he was on Eyewitness News. They did a 2-part interview with him, and he reiterated that the problem last year was leadership and that he thinks the pieces he's bringing back are the pieces he needs to win, and that we're light years ahead of where we were last year just because of, I guess, addition by subtraction. So what do you think?
My first thought is I just dreaming of a line of Dylan the Dictator Clark, Josh Beaulieu, and Matthew Bizanet.
Biznasty 4.0.
And boy, those guys, if they click and find some chemistry and Clark centers and can win some draws, that could be a powerful first line.
Yeah, that could be. Whew.
Yeah, and then the second thing is I'm a little bit surprised of how many of the returnees are coming back. But as far as we know from everyone we've talked to, there's been no marketing strategy of Coach Pyle being told he has to bring these players back because of familiarity in the marketplace and jersey sales and anything else. As far as we know, he had free rein to bring in anyone he wanted. And I think I assumed, I don't know if you assumed, that he would go back to some of his old ECHL guys and bring in a few of players that he had, that he knew from
in the past.
Yeah.
And Gwinnett.
Bring some of those guys in. And he has not done that. He's brought back a lot of Icemen, and notice there are the younger Icemen. It isn't Matthew Jens or Matt Jens. It's Aaron Jens. So he's going younger and speedy, and he thinks there's a lot of talent here that he can build a team on. And there's no way this guy's coming into town and planning on coming in last place. So
yeah.
He sees what he likes to see. And hockey's an interesting game because it's the ultimate team sport, in my opinion. But you can break it down by individual, and you can take a look at these individual pieces. And as a line, they could play horrible together, but you can pick pieces off and reconfigure them and put them with someone else, and bang, they get some chemistry, and off you go.
Yeah, I think chemistry is such an interesting intangible that makes hockey wonderful, in that you've heard time and again about how you can take a team where the sum is much greater, or the sum of the parts is not as big as the whole. Boy, I totally butchered that. Didn't I? The whole is greater than the sum of its parts.
There we go.
And I think you just look back at things like the Miracle on Ice and Team USA had no business competing with the Russians, but they went out there and they had the heart and the intangibles that it took to win. And I think there is some merit to the idea of addition by subtraction, and that if you think there are problems in the locker room, there are certain players who are problems, and you remove them from the equation, you can basically take a lot of the same elements, put them together, sprinkle in a few new parts, and have a much better result. And I think I don't have a problem with any of the individual players he's brought back individually. But when you see just the sheer number of them, it's a little bit of a yellow flag, in that you just worry that maybe there's too much coming back from a last place team. But at the same time, I have to have faith in Pyle that he knows what he's doing. He's bringing guys back for a reason. And if there were any guys he was bringing back that we had legitimate problems with him bringing back, then maybe I'd be a little more worried. But I got to think he knows what he's doing, and he's on to something. And we all have to hope that he's right.
Yep, indeed. Yeah. What else are we going to do?
Yeah.
Other than sit back and say, we can pull an Aaron Miller and say, I told you so.
Yeah.
But,
well, the thing to remember is he has won a lot more games as a professional hockey coach than any of us have. So clearly he knows what he's doing. You don't forget how to coach hockey. The game changes over time, but he's won a lot of games. He's gone to the playoffs, and hopefully he can do the same thing here.
Well, and it's another thing, too. Brian Patafi has talked about how teams come into this Ford Center. The Ford Center is beautiful. That locker room is gorgeous. We've got a great owner. We've got a great bus system with the sleeper bus and everything else. Players want to come here. So it isn't like we are settling with guys that can't find a job anywhere else in the ECHL. People want to come here. And of all the people that want to come here, Pyle has chosen to bring back a lot of the same guys, which just kind of tells you that he likes their game and thinks he can get them into the playoffs.
Right. Well, and you look at a guy like Shepke, who was playing over in the UK for a lot more money.
Yep.
And he could have stayed over there. Brayhead Clan wanted him. Their fans are not happy that he left because they liked him that much in the short time he was there. But he chose to come back, clearly for less money, and he's doing it because of Pyle and because of what Evansville has to offer. So if he feels that way, it's certainly reasonable to believe that a lot of other players feel that way too. And that's the kind of stuff that not necessarily will you see a huge turnover this season with the number of guys that Pyle is bringing back, but over time, that word gets around. Guys talk to each other, and Evansville will develop a reputation that Evansville Iceman, Ford Center, Ron Geary, Jeff Pyle, this is a package, this fan base. Everything comes together and makes an attractive place to play, and it's kind of hard to believe considering 6 years ago we didn't have professional hockey in this market, but Evansville is slowly but surely becoming a destination at this level, and it's pretty cool.
Other news and notes,
a few other things. We alluded to it earlier. The Icemen have officially renewed the affiliation with the Columbus Blue Jackets and Springfield Falcons, and it will be our only affiliation this season, which means the affiliation with the St. Louis Blues is now a thing of the past. I did talk to Jeff Pyle when they announced that, though, and he said that he has talked to a few other GMs, and he is open to basically an isolated send-down here and there. If there are teams that either are affiliated but don't have room in their ECHL affiliates, or if there are teams that don't have an ECHL affiliate and they have a player here or there that they need to send down, he would be open to taking a few guys that way, too. But he's not going to be, obviously, obligated to do so because there won't be a secondary affiliation this time. So that could, you never know, open some doors. There might be a player here or there that doesn't belong to another ECHL team, and somebody in the AHL needs to send somebody down to keep him busy, get him some work, and never know what we could get out of that kind of arrangement. But I think in general...
Well, also, I wonder, too, if that gives... And I'm just guessing here, so don't put words in Coach Pyle's mouth. But you like to have that ability, so you're on a 2-game, 3-game losing streak. Guys don't seem to be playing hard throughout 60 minutes of hockey, and all of a sudden you sit someone down because you got some AHL talent that you just picked up for free for 3-4 games.
Yeah.
That's a nice little ace up your sleeve that you can, you know, dangle around a little bit and say, yeah, you know what, maybe you need a few days off.
Yeah, it offers you a little more flexibility and a little more leverage with your own guys if you need to shake things up. That's very true. It is worth noting the affiliation with Columbus and Springfield is only for 1 year. Pyle told me that the Blue Jackets wanted 2 years, but he pushed to only do one. He wants to take a wait-and-see approach and basically ensure that this is going to be a two-way street and a mutually beneficial relationship. He doesn't want to be walked all over this year and then be stuck with the same situation for another year after it. So basically he's telling Columbus, put up or shut up. If you want to be our affiliate, then you be our affiliate. And if you just want to walk all over us and use us as a doormat, then we're going to tell you to hit the road after this season. So I think that's probably the smart way to go. While you would like to lock in some sort of long-term deal, I think it's better to have that flexibility and go year to year than to be locked into something that's not a good situation.
We don't need to be locked into anything long term.
No.
Not with an affiliate. They changed so much. So I'm upset that my beloved Toronto Maple Leafs are now using the Orlando Solar Bears.
Yeah, I saw that.
So I don't know how Coach Pyle screwed that up, but he got his first minus in my book.
Boy, put it on the record, everybody.
Yeah. Oh, I plan on talking to him about it, too. First chance he responds to all the texts I've been sending him.
Yeah. I think you're probably permanently blocked.
But, yeah, already. You know what's funny is I'm kind of getting excited. Second year with Columbus, and I couldn't root for him before because I'm a big Nashville Predators fan. Mm-hmm. I love my Leafs, and then I love the Predators. And so I couldn't jump on board with Columbus because they were in the same division. But
right
now Columbus is off in the East, and and I'm kind of excited to follow them more and to follow Springfield more and see how it affects us over the next couple of years. And, I mean, I want to see their training camp. I want to see Springfield's training camp and see who's hot and who's not and who we're going to end up getting. And all of a sudden, I'm slowly becoming a Blue Jackets fan.
You know, I am too, and it feels weird. I feel a little dirty.
I do.
But
it's like,
I'm the same way. I'm a Blues fan first. I'm a Preds fan second. And beyond that, I've never had a team.
What about the Red Wings?
I hate the Red Wings.
Oh, I know, I'm teasing.
Oh man, I just threw up in my mouth a little bit thinking about that. But I've never had a team in the East, and it seems like Columbus is an easy team to like at this point. They seem to be on the up and up. John Davidson knows what he's doing. Jarmo Kekalainen.
Jarmo Kekalainen.
Spell that.
That's no Viltell or Filippula.
Yeah, very true.
Yeah, I even brought the coughs out that
Very
time.
Very good. You are the anti-NyQuil.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that is a franchise that's on the up and up. They're moving in the right direction, and I think it's an exciting time to follow them. Now, granted, they got some tough teams in their new division.
Yep.
But I think if there's a time that that you want to adopt a new team, this is the time to adopt the Columbus Blue Jackets. And I kind of hope at this point, as a Blues fan, I was excited when we affiliated with them, but that just didn't work out very well.
No, not one bit.
And I like the idea of having just one affiliate that is your focus, and you can kind of develop a system-wide, you know, rooting for everyone in the system where you want Columbus to do well and you want Springfield to do well, and you keep an eye on guys as they move up and down the system and onward in their hockey careers, hopefully onward, upward, and to greater things after they leave Evansville. So I think it's pretty cool. While I've never been a Columbus fan, I've never really had a big problem with them. I didn't like Rick Nash, but he's not there anymore.
Nope.
So,
yeah, now you got Marian Gaborik.
Yeah, and his perpetually falling off groin.
Yes.
Him and Alan York put them together, and you got zero good groins between them.
good thing we got Steven Rickard.
Yeah. Well, let's not talk about his groin yet. Is that what your big announcement is about?
Maybe.
Steven Rickard's groin?
Stay tuned.
Ah, okay. Tease. So anyway, about the affiliation.
Steven Rickard's groin hasn't been teased in like 37 years.
Oh, anyways. Very nice. Wow. His ears are burning. So the Icemen are expecting to get 4 to 7 players from the Columbus Springfield side, including at least one goaltender. It sounds like it will only be one goaltender, and all indications are that it's going to be Mike Clement, unless they go out and for some reason sign another goaltender to have in the system. But right now I think it's going to be Mike Clement. He spent last year with Missouri in the CHL, so it sounds like the three-headed goalie monster will be Garrett Bartas, James Reed, and Mike Clement, and it'll be interesting to see yet if Pyle maybe adds a fourth goalie to that mix just to really shake things up. So we'll see where things go. But yeah, I'm excited about the affiliation. I like that it's only 1 year so that we're not locked into a bad situation. And I think by doing that, Pyle asserted himself and is really telling them, listen, this needs to be mutually beneficial or we're not going to work together anymore. So hopefully that means it will be a little more of a two-way street this year instead of last year where toward the end of the season they just called everybody up and left us high and dry.
Yep.
So some other affiliation news. The Fort Wayne Comets announced that they will not continue their affiliation with the Anaheim Ducks and Norfolk Admirals. They may stay independent, but they say they are still looking for a suitable partner. So it will be interesting to see if maybe they look at that St. Louis Blues affiliation, because the Blues do not have an ECHL affiliate right now. They're in bed now with the Chicago Wolves in the AHL, but those two do not have an ECHL affiliate as of now. Chicago was affiliated with Kalamazoo last year, but that was just a one-year deal. So it remains to be seen if they will basically encourage the Blues to go with Kalamazoo or if they'll look somewhere else. Fort Wayne would be a good geographic fit, if nothing else, with Chicago and St. Louis.
Yeah, I always wondered how much geography plays into it, though. And part of it does, but like I said earlier, you have Toronto teaming up with Orlando, so obviously they don't care that much. You know, they're not going to call someone up to
right.
the Toronto Marlies the day of a game. So, and I guess it all depends on the development status of your players. If you got a bunch of guys that have graduated out of major junior or U.S. college and you got to stick them somewhere for a year, then you send them down to Orlando and you let them play there and you don't worry about them until
yeah.
you get a progress report every 6 weeks and then you bring them up to camp the following year kind of thing.
Yeah, and I think geography can play a role in it, especially if you can get a team like Fort Wayne to Chicago, where, you know, that's where most of their movement would be. It would not be with St. Louis. It would be
right.
between Fort Wayne and Chicago. It's only a few-hour drive. And if you can get an affiliate that's that close, that's just a few hours away by car, then that's a pretty good situation. When you get beyond 3 to 5 hours driving, then really beyond that, I think the biggest telltale is airports, because
yep.
you're going to have a lot more flying. And like Toronto with Orlando, is with the Leafs and Marlies both being in Toronto, obviously that's a major international airport.
Yep.
Orlando, being a tourist destination, has a major international airport. So you can fly from Orlando to Toronto just as fast as you could drive from Orlando to, you know, some place that's 3-4 hours away.
So what you're saying is my beloved Toronto Maple Leafs actually thought this through?
What was I thinking? That can't be the case.
They're just like, we can go to Disney World.
Yeah, there you go, exactly.
And scout our players.
They really like Mickey Mouse.
Yeah. It's a Mickey Mouse
operation.
Franchise, yeah.
There you go.
Did you see the comments picked Mike Vasquo back up?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Vasquo?
Filippula?
No,
Mike
Filippula.
Vasquevu.
Yeah, Vasquevu. Yeah. He's back.
Him, yes. He did come back from Europe. They also signed John Muse, a goaltender who's he's won a couple championships. He won an NCAA championship, and I believe he won an AHL championship. So he knows
they're
looking
pretty tough.
He knows
there.
What he's doing in net. Now, They've lost some punch up front, though. It's going to be they've signed a few guys that I think are going to be good, but they've lost some talent that I think fans were hoping would come back. Jean-Michel Risk was traded away in a future considerations deal to complete a future considerations deal, and they've had a couple other guys. Brett Smith left for the CHL, so there's a lot of turnover in Fort Wayne, more so than here, which is kind of surprising with our coaching change. Of course, they've had a coaching change, too, so I think it's safe to say that the Fort Wayne Comets of this coming year will not very much resemble the Fort Wayne Comets of this past season. There's been a lot of change up there. There's still going to be Kaylee Schrock,
yep,
and a few others, but there's going to be a lot of new faces and new names, which same thing here. A lot of the old guard from the Muskegon days that had a big rivalry with Fort Wayne is not here anymore. So it's kind of a new era in the Iceman Comets rivalry, and it'll be interesting to see if that really flares back up now with both teams kind of rebuilding and maybe being a little re-energized with some younger guys that are really fighting for jobs. And
my guess is, yeah, it will be re-energized.
I think
about 7 minutes into the first period of the first game.
Very possible.
In October, yep.
A couple other quick news and notes. Wanted to mention in the SPHL, the Bloomington Blaze have changed their name to the Bloomington Thunder. Supposedly to avoid a possible lawsuit from the CHL over the Blaze name, because the CHL thinks they still own it, and the Bloomington ownership thought they still owned it, but they just decided to cut their losses and move on and change their name. The name pays homage to the old Prairie Thunder team, which we played a few years ago.
Yep.
The
still
logo,
one of my favorite names of all time.
The Prairie Thunder?
Yeah, I really like the Prairie Thunder.
It's a mouthful, though.
It is a mouthful, but you just think about, you know, all the wheat and everything else and this storm cloud coming overhead and boom and the big thunder rattling over the empty Midwest wasteland of wheat.
The only problem with that is it has nothing to do with weather. The idea is the Prairie Thunder was a train that used to service Bloomington way back in the day, which that's why their new logo is a train. I still can't figure out why the Prairie Thunder's logo was a bison. Obviously, bison running over the prairie would cause a thunderous sound. But
yes,
exactly. If
with
they named
storm
the team
cloud
in
and
the
wheat.
The storm cloud caused by a bison.
Maybe.
Good call. So anyway, the new Bloomington Thunder, their colors will be black, purple, and silver, just like the Evansville Thunder.
That is kind of creepy.
A little bit, isn't it?
It's like, who ratted us out?
But the Evansville Thunder are thunder. I mean, lightning is the logo, so that's how it should be.
I agree.
Not bison, not wheaty clouds caused by...
Clouds over the wheat.
Oh, clouds over the
wheat. Caused by the bison.
Is this...
With thunder. Yeah.
Nice. Speaking of thunder, one last note. Rich Crom has been hired as the new head coach and director of hockey operations for the Stockton Thunder in the ECHL.
Super excited about that. Good guy. Good job. Hopefully we meet him in the championship. That would be beauty.
That would be pretty awesome, wouldn't it? He's going to have some big shoes to fill. A high bar has been set there. They had a coaching vacancy because Matt Thomas led them to the Kelly Cup Finals last year. They ended up losing to Reading. But then he took a head coaching job at the University of Alaska Anchorage, which apparently it was his dream to coach at a major NCAA D1 school. So,
that's a big one.
So he left, and the team that won the Western Conference last year needed a coach, and they went out and got Crum, which a lot of the Stockton fans were scratching their heads saying, this is a guy that essentially got fired from a last place team in the East, and now we're hiring him. Why? Now, you and I are both Crom guys. We both like a lot of what he brought to the table, but I got to admit, I'm a little surprised that he did get a job in the ECHL this fast. I thought he would have to probably step back down to juniors or the CHL or the SPHL, kind of reset himself, basically, professionally, and then work his way back up. I'm a little surprised that he got a job in the E right away.
My thought is, and I've been through it myself personally, when you fail, you're either a loser or you learn a lot.
Yeah.
And very seldom, if you're a quality person and you fail, you get fired from something, you screw something up, you learn from your mistakes and you fix them, and it makes you even better. And I think Coach Crom is a quality guy, and yeah, you don't think he's going to know how to deal with affiliates next year?
Yeah, no kidding.
Or this year, after this past year, that's going to be all fixed up and everything else, and he's going to, I just see, he's a great guy, he's a great coach, he's won, and I can't see him not winning again.
So here's the question. Who ends up with a better record this season, Crom and the Thunder or Pyle and the Iceman?
I'm all over the Pyle bandwagon. I'm taking Pyle and the Iceman. So, yep, I'll take that one.
Okay. All right. We need to write that down.
Yep.
Guarantee. Another guarantee sure to be wrong.
I was right last
the Dirty D.
Hey, I was right last year. I was the one that said bottom third. Everyone talked about 500 and playoffs, and I laughed at you.
Then again, you also thought the Canucks would win the Stanley
Cup.
Yeah,
well, you know.
So which is the real Dirty D? The Canuck picker or the Iceman bottom third
picker? Canuck picker. Yeah. That sounds... Are you a booger eater? Are you a booger picker? No, I'm a Canuck picker.
I'm a
picker.
Canuck picker. Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, Patassi's...
As we're closing over the 40-minute mark, BTW, that's code in radio.
To move on.
For by the way. LOL.
It's radio code. Exclusive radio code.
R-O-F-L.
We're moving on to your favorite segment.
Shockers. Hockey. Rocks. Song of the week.
All right. This past Monday, August 5th, marked the... This is one of those it'll make you feel old trivia tidbits. Marked the 30-year anniversary of the release of Risky Business.
Oh, man. I'm getting old.
Yeah. So that movie, of course, is known perhaps mostly now at this point for the infamous scene in which Tom Cruise dances around and sings to a particular song, which was a very popular and fun intermission song when I did the music It's Wander. I always loved playing it because you would see tons of people singing along to it and tapping their toes.
And busting out the air guitar from time
to time. That's true, yeah. And it's just a great song in general. So in honor of the 30th anniversary of Risky Business, this is Bob Seger, Old Time Rock and Roll.
Jim! Now Iceman Insights with Michael Shockley.
And Daddy.
And Daddy.
And we're back here on Iceman Insights. Michael Shocker, the Shockley,
yeah,
the Dirty D, Music Bomb, 96.9 WYIR, Iceman Trivia. Oh, we go right into Iceman Trivia.
Yeah, we got to start this second segment off on a low note.
As you can only go up from here.
Yeah, exactly. You try to get your fourth one wrong in a row. All right, this one, I think this one's going to get you. What else is new?
Yeah.
Matt Shepke is one of 8 Matts to have played for the Iceman. Thus, there are 7 others. 8 minus Shepke equals 7. for you math majors. Out of the other 7, can you name 5? And I will tell you, we're not counting Matthew Bissonnet yet, because he hasn't actually played a game for the Iceman.
Fair enough. I'm going to go with Matt Jens.
That's 1.
Matt Shepke.
No.
Oh.
Others.
Okay, now we're going to go to pause. All I got is Matt Pierce is the only other one I can think of. So I got 2.
Jens 2 out of 7.
Pierce. 2 out of 5. Well, I said, yeah. Matt Shepke, 2 Shepke out of the 5 you mean. For the third time.
All right. Matt Jens.
Yep.
The other one that played in the ECHL, Matt Krug.
Oh, yeah. All I think of is Tory at this point.
We go back to the CHL in addition to Jens, who also played in the CHL. Goaltender Matt Lundin.
Ah.
Maine Black Bear, as yes. You like to say. And Matt Pierce. And then if we go way back,
yeah,
take a trip on the Wayback Machine to the AHA days, we've got goaltender Matt
Wagner. Shoot.
Tough guy enforcer Matt Hoon.
Oh,
local guy.
Very good.
And Matt Mosley.
Nice.
So there you go.
Work.
The 8 mats we've had: Shepke, Jens, Krug, Lundin, Pierce, Hoon, Mosley, Wagner, and perhaps soon Bissonnet. So there you go. That's
is that
trivia.
The league leading or team leading name is Matt?
It might be. It's going to be up there. I would have to. That's an interesting. Maybe Jeff. There's been a lot of Jeffs too.
There you go.
Yeah.
Something to think
that
about.
Could be another trivia.
Brian Patafi, tweet of the week.
All right. Iceman fans can follow Iceman athletic trainer and weekly or regular amusement park guest Brian Patafi on Twitter. His handle is bpatafi. That's bpatafie.
He's pretty excited about his 456 followers. He's almost to the halfway point of something he wanted to do in a month.
Yeah. Almost. And usually this tweet is something goofy and off the wall that Patafi tweets, but every now and then he does post sincere, genuine things, as much as it probably pains him. So I wanted to share one of those nice ones. He tweeted just, I think, about a week ago or so, tweeted at the EVV Iceman, which of course is the Iceman Twitter, going into my 36th year, worked at every level from SPHL to NHL, think this is the most excited I've been. Let's go.
See, he's drinking the Kool-Aid, too.
That's true.
Did you see the one it's probably about 3 weeks ago when he said he told his wife that he broke a lot of hearts in the past, and his wife responded, "I wish you would have broken one more."
Oh, very nice.
Yep.
I did want to share, too. It's not a tweet, but after the last show, when he actually said nice things about me on the radio, I sent him an email and said, "Did it hurt you to do that?" And he said, "I'm now on the IR."
more man games, lost to injury.
Actually, my response to that was, "Woman games, lost to injury, 1.
Nice. Maniac Asylum Lunatic of the Week. We you pulled this one out at the last show. Did that one go over well?
Yeah, it people seem to enjoy it.
All except for, was it Ryan,
Ryan Huff? Yeah. Actually, I think he did enjoy it, and perhaps more than anyone, his dad Dave really enjoyed it. So this one, well, we're going to pay tribute to the person who you thought this was probably named after and inspired by. Again, for those who didn't catch it last time, the Maniac Asylum Lunatic of the Week, we are throwing someone under the bus for their insane postings on the Maniac Asylum on Facebook.
And it can happen to anybody.
Yes.
You have a bad night, you eat some bad dinner or something like that, you're not thinking clearly, and
you're channeling Derek Benigni.
Yeah, and you get a little emotional, and you fire something off on the Asylum page.
Yeah.
And could be.
And then the next morning you wake up and go, what the?
That makes no sense at all. It isn't Tory Krug, it's Matt Krug.
The Canucks aren't going to win the Stanley
Cup. The Canucks are not even going to win a game in the playoffs.
Yeah. This one is our buddy Jacob Franklin, Esquire III.
There's more to it than that.
Yeah. Who, in talking about new player signings and reflecting on Todd Robinson's stats last season, which he had 7 goals and 61 assists, and he was looking at some of the new signings for this coming season that also have a lot of assists and not so many goals. He said, quote, "A 50-50 split or 60-40 in favor of assists is what I look for. Anything above that is too much."
Much assists.
For those of you keeping score at home, if you get more than 60% of your points from assists, Jacob Franklin is not interested in you. Now, for the record, if you do the math, there are about 1.7 assists per goal scored in professional hockey. That means 63% of all points are assists. So any average player has more than 60% of his points that are assists. But let's look at a few who are not exactly average that would be dismissed using Jacob's criteria. The following Hall of Fame players, among many others, are too assist-heavy for Jacob's 60-40 preference. We'll start with a little guy by the name of Wayne Gretzky. Ever heard of him?
Overrated.
Yeah, exactly. According to Jacob Franklin, he is, because he got 69% of his points from assists. Mark Messier,
bald,
the captain.
Bald people shouldn't play hockey.
There you go. 63% of his points. Steve Yzerman.
Horrible leader.
I agree. And a Red Wing. Dirty, filthy Red Wing.
Dirty, filthy Red Wing.
61% of his points from assists. Joe Sakic.
Watch out for that snowblower.
Very nice. A.
A.
62% of his points from assists. And perhaps the greatest playmaker in hockey history, Adam Oates.
Brett Hull's biatch.
Yeah. Did you say that?
I think so.
Wow.
We'll find out.
All right. Thanks for listening to our last ever episode. Adam Oates got 76% of his points from assists. So all those guys using that 60-40 criteria would be completely dismissed.
I think he's
on to something.
He could be a scout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe he should go help Crom build his team in Stockton. Yeah. Or we should encourage the Comets to sign him.
Yep. Yeah. Wow. Yep, exactly. Can happen to anybody.
Well, some more than others.
Some more than others.
So there you go. Jacob Franklin, he fully anticipated when we mentioned that we were going to do it. He thought he was going to be the first one, too. So there you go,
he went
Jacob.
Out there. He gave it the old college try to guarantee he was going to make the second show.
The old community college try. Very good, Jacob. You got it. You are the Maniac Asylum Lunatic of the Week. Congratulations.
Congratulations. I'm almost... Don't know if he can win it because his name is longer than the actual segment.
That's true, yeah. That's why we didn't say his full name.
Yeah. Booster Club news.
All right, some Booster Club news I wanted to pass along. First off, a few weeks ago, the Booster Club announced some pretty cool news. The Iceman Maniacs Booster Club will be hosting the 26th annual ECHL Booster Club Jamboree next July, July 2014.
Are you going to have clowns there?
No. Well, you might be there, so...
There you go.
There you go.
You want me to
and
paint
Steve,
up or
Steven
no?
Rickard might be there, too, so...
Clowns aplenty.
Yeah. So, anyway...
Maybe we can show up in the same car.
Ooh.
Like, with 27 other clowns.
Get, like, a smart car and...
Yeah.
Or it would be a dumb car. the 26th Annual Jamboree, and it's called a Jamboree because that's a fun name, but it's really a national convention for all of the ECHL Booster Clubs get together. Board members, general members, even just fans of the teams, even if they're not part of a booster club, can come.
Will there be square dancing?
No, there will not.
Will there be livestock?
No, there will not.
Do you know what the definition of a jamboree is?
Well,
it's falling way down.
Hey, we're not
things to do June 2014.
We're not the ones who gave it the name jamboree in the first place. So I don't know who came up with that. Probably somebody in Augusta or something.
I was wondering if
Patafi likes making fun of them.
I was wondering if it was Stephen H. But
The 26th annual Booster Club Jamboree next July. We're calling it Pucks on the Ohio.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. It's pretty nice, isn't it?
It's really something.
something. And it will primarily be at the Tropicana Casino.
The Trop.
Formerly Casino like Astar, of course.
Like a sexual disease.
Wow.
I'm just saying, doesn't it?
You get that from tweaking Stephen Rickard's groin?
Yes, if you tweak Stephen Rickard's groin for the first time in 7 years, you risk getting the trop.
Wow.
This show, we may have to pause here. Yeah. Two, why don't we have commercials?
And now from your favorite ED drug. Wow. So, anyway... Next July, July 18th to the 20th, 2014. You can find out more information on IcemanManiacs.com. There's a link to the Jamboree website, which is echlbcjamboree.org, because it is, a nonprofit. So we are going to have people from all kinds of booster clubs around the league that will come to it. We're also going to try to get as many maniacs as we can there. Whether you're in the booster club or not, there is a fee to come to it. But it includes meals and things of that nature. So we're still working on all the details, but there will be meals. There will be fun activities. We're going to have all kinds of different stuff in addition to the brainstorming and basically trying to help all the booster clubs in the league help each other. Because while we all root for different teams, we're all essentially in it together trying for the same overall goal of making all of our teams successful and helping the players and making the ECHL the best league it can possibly be with the budgets as they are. So I think it's going to be really cool. It's awesome that we're hosting it. This year's was in Kalamazoo. Last year's was in Redding. And Dixie H did go to both of them. So she's seen what they're about and what they do and has some ideas for programming and whatnot. So I think it's going to be really cool.
It'd be awesome.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. I was wondering if you guys were going to be hosting the All-Star game as well, but not yet, huh?
No.
Okay.
There is word going around that we may play a game called Pin the Groin on Stephen Rickard.
Ah, nice.
I think you probably would do really well in that, though.
Ba-da-bum.
In other Booster Club news, we are now accepting membership registration and renewal for the 2013-14 season. If you've never been in the Booster Club, you can join. It's just $5 for an individual, $10 for a family. If you were in the Booster Club last year, you do have to renew. Again, it's $5 for a single or $10 for a family. And for those who were in the club last year, you can renew online now on IcemanManiacs.com. You can use PayPal and your credit card to pay your dues and renew online. If you're
impressive.
New, yeah, we're big time.
Yeah.
If you are new to the club, though, you do have to pay basically in person or by mail because you have to fill out a bunch of paperwork and stuff to make it official. So the online payment is only if you're renewing, but whether you're new or old, you can go to IcemanManiacs.com and get all the information. It's there. Also, while you're there, you can order your Maniac Asylum t-shirt if you haven't yet. We are still taking orders until a deadline of October 1st. Sizes small through extra large are $15. 2X and 3X are $20. All the proceeds go to the Booster Club. All the information is on IcemanManiacs.com. You can order online via PayPal for that as well. And like I said, the deadline will be October 1st. We will order it after that. And then hopefully starting at the home opener tailgate on October 19th, we will have the t-shirts available for pickup if all goes according to plan. So they say Maniac Asylum on the front and Embrace the Insanity on the back.
Embrace the Insanity.
So if you want to get your Maniac Asylum t-shirt and help out the Booster Club, do that.
You need
They're
to
blue.
Get some badges, too, that says, I'm a lunatic.
There you go.
Hand them out to people.
Hi, my name is
Well, no,
I'm
I was
a lunatic.
Thinking about you've actually earned the award of being a lunatic on the radio show.
I don't
like
think
a
we
badge
have
badge of honor, kind of like Sergeant Stripes, but in a bad way.
We don't have that in the budget, first off. And secondly, if we did give that out, I think Ryan Huff and Jacob Franklin will eventually be weighed down by all the buttons they will earn.
Nice.
So,
bling.
Couple other things wanted to mention. IcemanManiacs.com also has, I just posted last week, the first two radio broadcasts in Iceman history, which Steven Rickard, the man with the golden testicles, I mean...
Pipes.
Yeah, that's it.
Oops. That was Freud.
He and I called those games from Battle Creek, Michigan back in March of 2009, and it included, one of the games included, Steven interviewing Kira Hurley.
I'm just going to let that one go. I really am. I'm just going to let it go.
You're not going to say anything?
Nope.
You don't want to start laughing again? Is that the problem?
Exactly.
Okay.
And your next cool summer event?
Next cool summer event is Thursday, August 22nd. We're going to go see an Otters game. The Otters will take on the Rockford Aviators at 6:35. It is a Thirsty Thursday game, which means $2 beer, which means I just got everyone's attention.
Yep.
You talk about cheap beer, and people are on board. As per usual, general admission tickets are $5, and I think you can get free tickets for kids at Old National Bank, so information on IcemanManiacs.com for that as well. So that's all of our Maniac Booster Club news. Again, registration is open. If you're interested in becoming a member or renewing your membership, please go do it now. Also, if you want to help us out with organizing and putting on the Jamboree, this is the time to become a member because we're really starting... hot and heavy and getting into the organization of the Jamboree. It's almost a year away, but the year's going to fly by.
Yep.
It always does. The season always starts where we start the season and we like have our first Booster Club meeting and we say, you know, sometime around mid-season we need to have another meeting. Next thing you know, the season's over and we never did have another meeting. That's just how it works.
Yep. It's going to be going. It'll be a lot of wins, and before you know it, it'll be playoffs and championship push. So
hopefully, yes.
Hopefully.
So before we finish,
yes,
we have to get to...
The big news.
Exactly.
The big news is...
Brrr, ding.
Toronto Maple Leafs are winning the Stanley Cup next year. David Clarkson is the answer. Dave Bolin's going to hold down that third line. Nazem Kadri, top five in scoring. Toronto Maple Leafs, Stanley Cup champions. That's your big secret for the year. Go to Vegas. Go to the Trop. Put it down.
I don't think you can put it down at the Trop.
I don't think you can either.
That was something.
Yeah.
I'm sure hearts are breaking all over the tri-state right
now.
Yeah,
that's what we do.
There you go, everybody. Hope you enjoyed Derek's big news.
Yep.
Final thoughts. Next show will be...
Next week. How about that?
How about we're starting to ramp up.
We're starting to get excited. It's hockey
2 weeks
time.
In a row. August 14th. We're going to talk about the Iceman free agent camp, which we didn't talk about today on purpose. so we have something to talk about next week. We're also going to talk about the home game promotions that we know of, some NHL stuff, and whatever nonsense. You know, we'll have another Brian Patafi tweet of the week.
Hopefully we got one or two more player signings, too. So
yeah, we'll see.
You never know.
We'll have another Iceman trivia that you can get wrong.
Yep. And might as well go with the streak.
I'm sure we'll have another Maniac Asylum Lunatic of the Week.
That's just granted at this point.
It might be something that somebody says in response to your big announcement.
indeed. So,
where are we at on time? How far are we?
We're over. 18-minute mark.
That's not bad, though.
No, actually, if you close it up right now, you'll be right on time.
All
right.
Iceman Insights.
Oh, yeah. That's me.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you're the one who closes it up.
You've been listening to Iceman Insights, starring Michael Shockley, senior writer, webmaster, and vice president of offbeat shenanigans for IcemanManiacs.com. Anything you need to know about your Iceman, Evansville Iceman, you can check it out on his website 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Nowhere else in town or in the ECHL can you get in-depth coverage of the Evansville Iceman like you can on IcemanManiacs.com. Thank you once again for joining us, Michael, and we'll see you next week.
Yes, indeed we will. Up next on the air, not preempting me for once, Brian Patafi. Everybody enjoy that. And as Patafi inspired, that's where it came from in the first place. We'll see you on the radio.
The puck is in, the home team wins the good old hockey game.